Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. A bad seat, a broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad lie, bad dude, bad bread, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia right across the river and through the woods from where Granny loves getting that flower instead of the buds. She always liked the flower when she's drinking JMO in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, directing in traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up should do. But all my friends that come around, flats and flats of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown with a mess, this town's a tatter, my brains have splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. Ooh, what's gagging is Farrell with Carver High this evening. And he's under a tremendous strain because the Islanders and Flyers are in overtime. What a comeback. What an amazing comeback by the Islanders late in the third period. They were down 3-1, getting their ass handed to them all night long. Even after Bailey had a 1-0 lead, the next three goals were from Giroux, Van Riemsdyk, and Niskanen, and then 3-1 at 4:32 of the third, they go up two goals, and then at 15:46, Brock Nelson made it 3-2 from Bailey and Mayfield, and then at 17:19, under 3 minutes left, they tie it up. Derek Brassard, the former Penguin, getting involved, his first playoff goal, ties it up from Clutterbuck and Cizikas. Now they're under 12 minutes left in the overtime, and it's just a great game, and the Flyers have gone on the power play. They got about a minute 35 left in the power play. How far back are you, Carver High? I know I don't have a lot of time here. Are you way behind me on this thing? Or?
Yeah, I'm at 12:05. The power play is about to start.
All right, so I'm already into it. I don't want to ruin anything for you, so I'm just going to chill. Got a great show for you tonight. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. Because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Perel on the bench. They're in overtime, and the Islanders Flyers tied at threes. Just so you know, on the other side of the world, the NBA is going on, and that's a really good game. The Jazz were down 16 at the half. The last time I checked, just a minute ago, they were literally down five. I want to double check just for, you know, everybody's edification. I want to give them a score. That's where it's at right now. It's still 60-55. Nuggets, 2:39 left in a timeout. Game seven, and they were down 16, getting worked. And all I know is, let's just take a look at the numbers in terms of who's going off. Spider's got 20, Mitchell. And then on the other side, it's basically Jokic with 17. But they have kept Murray in check up to this point. 5 of 14 from the floor, 1 of 4 from three, 13 points. If you remember on Coast to Coast today, Carver High, I talked about with Andy Larson. I just said, look, if they can keep him at 30 or you know, in that neighborhood, 30 or under, they'll win the game. If they let him have 47, 50 points, they're going to lose. And that guy's not having 50 points tonight when he's sitting there right now with you know, the numbers that he's got at 13 and 5 of 14 from the floor. Now, he could get hot in the fourth quarter and still finish. You never know. He could have 15 in the fourth quarter and have 30. But that's what I said the number should have been, was 30.
Yep.
Keep him at 30, because the guy can score 30 blinking. And I think that the key to the game for the Jazz was to literally dedicate the entire game to shutting him down, because I said the rest of them are a bunch of hacks. I don't think any of them can actually play besides Jokic. I don't, you know, Grant, I'd rather have Horace Grant, okay? So, believe me, I'm done with all this candy-ass stuff, too, on this network, with, like, not just telling it like it is. Like, if a guy sucks and he's a hack, I'm just going to say it. Like, I do anyway. So, you know, these bums like Aaron Hicks, I'm done with it. I'm not going to be like, oh, wow, he had a home run. No, you suck, okay? So, one home run every 3 months. It's not cutting the mustard for me. You're a jinx. I don't want you near my team. I really don't. And I think that lineup, I got to tell you, it really is candy ass. That Millsap's finished. They're going to get rid of him. He's had 2 points. He's done. Like, he's been in the playoffs. You know what he is? He's the Invisible Man. You remember that movie? Grant's got 3 points tonight. I told you, he's garbage. I didn't even know he had three. That's how much garbage. I think garbage of him, because he's landfill trash. He's got no game. And then, like, I didn't even have to look. And then I look, and he's got 3 points. Jokic got 19. Morris gives you 7. And, you know, Plumlee, nothing. Porter, 10. Harris, 3. Remember they talked about Gary Harris bringing him back? That was going to be the key to everything. He's 1 of 4, 12 minutes, 3 points. So he does nothing either. Barton went home. He's with his mommy. So the whole team is Murray and Jokic. That's it. And if you stop one of them, you can beat the Nuggets flat out. And I can't believe, Carver, I cannot believe they can't beat the Nuggets if they just do that. You know what I mean? Like, the rest of this game, it's a 10-point game now. They built it back up to 10. They're going to lose to this team tonight. And the Flyers just won it in overtime. So they'll force game 6, 4-3, Flyers get the goal. And it was basically a slap shot from the left point. And that's what it was. So the Nuggets are up 10 right now, and they're gonna beat this team. Unless the Jazz go wild in the fourth. I truly cannot believe, because Jokic is going off for 22 now. I can't believe that they're so stupid that they can't do something about Jokic with Gobert all over him. He's bigger. He's longer. He blocks more shots. So that was just a wrister. Oh, it got deflected down. He had no chance. Varlamov had no chance. It was a slap shot from the top. of the slot, and it was tipped down and in at in front of the doorstep. So that was that. And then you get the game winner. And I don't even know who that is, because I hate the Flyers. But I'm telling you, let's see if I can give you that one in terms of the winner. They got this thing so screwed up. This ESPN doesn't know how to do hockey, apparently. they got Brassard's goal as the 4-2 Islanders. It's 4-3 final Flyers. They can't even get the score right. They just fixed it right now because they know how bad they are at this. They can't even get the score right. They literally can't. So in about an hour, they'll have the goal scorer up so everyone knows who had the winner. Lawton had the game-winning overtime goal on a tip-in. Under it bounced down, and Varlamov had no chance. It was a wrister up right at him. He would have made the save easily, right at him. But a stick hit it on the way in, right on the doorstep, and it went shooting down into the goal. He had no chance at all. His onions were split in half. He had no opportunity at all to see it go down and react that quickly. It went in like a ricochet rabbit. So that's that. And then have you seen it yet, Carver High? Are you still behind?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of replays of it now. You're right. There's absolutely nothing you can do on a play like that. That's just that's a pretty goal. You know, that's a deflection in front. Lawton got his stick on it, and it went to the right place. You know, you don't know where it's going to go when you deflect it like that. It goes down right past Varlamov. They scored two goals like that tonight. The Giroux goal was on a deflection as well. So just unlucky for the Islanders. For the second time in this series, they fight back, down a couple goals in the third to force overtime and lose both overtimes. Those are the two games that they lost in this series.
So they lost the other overtime. Who had the other overtime goal? Do you remember?
The defenseman. I forget his name. He threw it from the point that went off of Lee's stick. I forget which guy it was, but
well, there you go.
You know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. They're up 3-2. I still think in fact, not only do I think they'll win it, I think they'll win game six. I mean, you know, you have to be worried if you're the Philadelphia Flyers, in my opinion. It's this simple. They're up 3-1, basically with 5 minutes left in the game, right? And the Islanders still tied them. And they did it in the other game, too. They were down, the game was over, and they still blew it. And so my opinion is they can't even handle prosperity or a lead. They don't know what to do with it against this team because the Islanders are better, flat out. And in fact, even in the overtime, they had, in my opinion, a couple chances and some, it was like a pinball machine with the puck around the slot. There was a couple chances that they had, you know, pucks blocked and, you know, bodies hitting pucks in front of Carter Hart. And they could have easily bounced down and in on the other end for the Islanders. So it just didn't bounce in for them, and it bounced in for Philly. I still think, without a doubt, I have no reservations at all whatsoever, zero. I hope everyone in Philadelphia hears me. I have no reservations whatsoever at this point, seriously, that they'll lose this series to the Flyers, because it doesn't matter what the Flyers do. They can't get rid of the Islanders. They beat them tonight, and they're all going to drink beer, and the fans are going to get crazy and smoke doobies. But I'm telling you, they can't beat this team in a seven-game series, because I think the Islanders have basically outplayed them at every stretch. When you're up 3-1 and you still can't get rid of a team, you can't get rid of them. You have to know in the back of your head that they're coming back on you. You have to know that they have a chance to tie you and beat you again, because you can't hold a lead because they're better than you. They're better than the Flyers. And remember, I'll say it because I got stones. They have not sniffed this thing since 1975. Now, I know people will say they've been in the finals and all this other, but they never sniffed it even when they were in the finals, right? They never won it. They never get it done, ever. And I just don't think they're as good as everybody thinks they are. Everybody remember when the playoffs started, the Flyers are one of the favorites to win it all. Except they never win it all. I mean, you have to go back to 75 and Bobby Clark. It's that simple. I mean, I've never seen their snake bit. The only team worse is the Toronto Maple Leafs. They might as well fold up shop. and move to Quebec.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell on a bench on a late Tuesday night. Just so we're clear, Vegas and Vancouver, after a period in Edmonton, scoreless in that game five. Vegas up 3-1 there. And then as far as this game goes, Denver now up 3, 10-20 left and counting in the game seven. Nuggets up 3. They were up 16 at the half. So we're keeping our eyes on this great game seven that's happening. It's pressure time now. Every shot is pressure time. And we'll see if the Nuggets can hold on and win this game, or if Spida and company can rally Conley. Bottom line is, I need Conley and Mitchell to shoot every shot. It's that simple. And bottom line is, Gobert just got a follow on a Conley miss at the rim, and now it's a one-point game and a timeout for the Nuggets. Rick Haro is our sports business and legal insider from Harvard, and he's on the road tonight in central New Jersey. He was on Coast to Coast today, and he's on the bench now. How you doing, Rick?
All right, man. We finally got a good Game 7 of some playoff series. What is it with hockey and basketball this year where it's not been really competitive? A lot of 4-1 series so far. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, so did you watch the have you just been watching the basketball, or were you able to watch the Flyers overtime win?
Did not see that, but watched a lot of hockey, but I did not see that today. I've been watching my Cubs with their bullpen blowing yet another game. They're still up, but they were up 6-1 and now 6-5. So
6-5,
I'm not sure why.
In what inning?
It's the eighth. I'm not really sure why I'm excited about my team, except they were out to a 13-3 start. Lester looked good, then he looked old, and they don't have a bullpen. And you know, Kimbrel, I don't know why somebody has to listen. I sound like a fan, right? But I know this more than anybody else. But you pay a guy that amount of money, and he blows save after save, and you got to keep doing it. Guaranteed contracts are amazing in baseball, right? Football, you know, goodbye. Baseball, it's a lot different.
Yeah, no doubt about it. This is a great game seven with the Nuggets and the Jazz. And then earlier tonight, I hit the Celtics. Carver High is my witness on Coast to Coast today. I went again. I hit the Heat last night to win outright over the Bucks in game one. And then I took the Celtics again in game two to beat the Raptors, and I was getting 1.5, and that hit on the money line and the spread. So a huge win tonight for the Celtics. They should have lost that game. They were down most of the game, and then Marcus Smart started hitting three bombs, and they got back in it, and they stole it from them. And I thought that late in the game, you know, Siakam got his foot out of bounds on in the corner. He had a ball. They were down three, and they threw him the ball, and he stepped out of bounds. I thought they had some turnovers that were costly, like that one, and they blew the game, and the Celtics stole it from them. And really, Smart was the hero. And I know Kemba hit a big step back, and I know Tatum had another big game, but I thought Smart was the difference. What do you think of the defending champs in trouble down 2-0 to Boston?
Yeah, really interesting. Defending champs were kind of reading how great they were going into the playoffs. But, you know, this year, I've yet to see how the home field advantage being irrelevant plays in all of this too, because it'll be a very interesting end of playoffs when everybody gets closer and home field is completely irrelevant.
All right, so let's do Power of Sports. I want to start with the National Hockey League going to accept applications for the NHL Power Players. The Youth Advisory Board brings together young hockey fans between the ages of 13 and 17. What's the plan there?
Here's so cool, because Bill Daly, who we know is president of the league, deputy commissioner, he's the one behind the idea that says, let's make sure our game stays young. And what he's trying to do, and of course Gary Bettman, is it's his idea as well. There are kids who are creative. They're sharing with the NFL, NHL, as it relates to their local communities, the sport as a whole, social media, fan-driven content. They'll go through interview processes, and they'll come up with the power players. Those people will be honored. It's a unique way for the league to immerse the next generation of hockey fans into the sport, and maybe there'll be some good ideas to implement.
Bridgestone America's announced support for three nonprofit adaptive sports organizations, part of its ongoing efforts to help remove barriers in society and create advanced solutions that increase accessibility for all. What's that about?
Well, Bridgestone has been big in golf, football, motorsports, and now adaptive sports is obviously what it's called. The Challenged Athletes Foundation, the Adaptive Sports Program of Ohio, and Amputee Blade Runners. And, of course, those organizations, part of the whole Paralympic Games network, are important causes, but sometimes they don't get enough from corporate America. Bridgestone has taken the next step, and it's good for them.
Global esports organization Gen.G announced $1 million commitment to developing the next generation of leaders in the gaming industry.
Alongside founding partners, University of Kentucky, Eastern Michigan, Silicon Valley Bank, and others, scholarships to 10 students in the program's inaugural year, the Gen 10. So now the sport has progressed, and I can't believe we call it a sport, but of course it is, progressed to such a level that we're now building esports leaders to try to train others to make sure that the game and the sport continues. 5 years ago, we dismissed it as no sport. Now we're building leadership.
How about Hurley? I love Hurley from my days in Huntington Beach with surfing. It's proud to announce their multi-year global partnership with Black Girls Surf, a performance training program that's going to help girls of color get involved in surfing. I think that's fantastic.
It's totally cool. Their program will be in different locations in Africa, Brazil, Jamaica, United States. And according to Sport and Development, it's training camps, board meetings encompassing beginners all the way to female surfers at the expert level. So everybody, the board meetings is kind of a cute name, but throughout the world, its partnership will mean that Black women not only get to work toward their professional surf dreams, but they're empowered by education along the way. This is one of those things that's a very serious endeavor that wouldn't have happened otherwise. So, yeah, kudos to Hurley. You know them, and you realize it's a very serious effort.
A huge bucket by Gobert and the foul. He'll go to the line to try to put Utah up 4 with 8:06 left in the game. Let's do top tech stories. College football's kickoff the ESPN Creative Services Division as well. Obviously, people are fired up that they're going to play some college football in any capacity. People eat it up.
The Week Zero Showcase, that's the annual game. Remember, Miami and Florida played last year. It sent Miami on a tailspin. That's another story. But the best game they could come up with this year was Austin Peay, who laid an egg against Central Arkansas. I don't know too many people knew, but Central Arkansas won 24-17 in Montgomery at the Crampton Bowl. ESPN was all over it. And so there were big deals with the kind of promotion of it, the idea of the first game of the season, reinvented the college football clock and score design and technical build. So a whole new logo is kind of reinvented. I must admit, I didn't catch it. I don't know. Did you see any of that game?
No, but I wish I had, obviously. Here's Murray driving and missing, but Jokic the follow. and now it's a one-point Jazz lead. What a game. Sports Radar Integrity Services launched an industry-first solution to support sports organizations in safeguarding pro athletes from trolls.
Yeah, how's that? So they're providing high-level location of said trolls. The Sport Radar team builds a picture of how individuals conduct online abuse. And so what they're trying to do is to take a product that was successfully used in trial this summer at tennis series played in Germany. Dustin Brown and Taylor Townsend had a match. They talked about how to make sure you protect the tennis games. Remember, there was a whole lot of issues about low-level tennis matches being fixed, and Sports Radar is kind of helping. The Intelligence and Investigation Services team assists more than 80 partners, and now it's even bigger, obviously. So it's here. I know it's a big promoter and partner with a Sports Grid as well, and they're doing a lot of good stuff.
Video streaming services have reached 72% penetration in U.S. homes, up 13% since January. Obviously, streaming's what's up. That's what we do.
Streaming is what's up. And, one of the things the pandemic did is to validate all of the stuff that people do when they stay at home and have nowhere to go. 85% of streaming customers said they'd keep their same number of subscriptions after social distancing requirements end. That's a big deal. And so the numbers got big. They're going to stay big. And online streaming has come across as a top consumer segment in changes, and the market's here to stay. The important thing is the content has been good, or they obviously wouldn't be saying that. And not only is it here to stay, but it's so much money and it is so much access individually. It's a really good thing.
67% of sports fans in the U.S. would be willing to watch sports exclusively on online streaming platforms, and pay TV subscriptions have fallen 9% in that same period.
Yeah, Grabo did a study, and that's important. It's part of the same deal. So a high percentage of people will be able to watch streaming and like streaming and watch live sports streaming-wise, even if they have the ability to watch it on TV. In contrast, pay TV subscriptions have fallen by 9% over the same period. So those of us who stream and have access to streaming are doing the right thing.
All right, Rick, good luck with your meetings. I know you got a lot of them in New York and such, and the U.S. Open and everything else. Always appreciate you on Coast to Coast and for Owen Avenge. Thank you. We'll see you next week. There he is, Rick Harrow, our sports business and legal insider. So, Carver, I don't know if you knew this or not, but I mean, I was pretty hot in baseball tonight on PharrellOnTheBench.com. Fans love it. They all love the website because all I do is make people money. So I'm on the Cubs. I need them to finish that game. That was my top play. They're up 6-5, bottom 8, nobody on. Pirates coming to bat. They're Braves. I got them rocking against Boston 10-3. They just beat them. Dodgers, I got going. They're up early, 2-1. Tigers, I got going. They're up 6-1 in the 8th. And then I got the Indians going. They're up 9-1 in the 7th. I got the Astros going. They're up 4-3 in the 8th. The White Sox Twins, I took the Twins to end their 5-game skid. It's bottom 7, 2-1, 1 out, 2-2 with the White Sox. I got the Rockies wrong. They're losing to the Giants 9-2. I got the Yankees wrong. They won 5-3 over the Rays. I almost fell over. They finally beat the Rays. They lost 7 of 8 to them, make it 7 of 9 now because the Yankees get it done. Cardinals beat Sonny Gray's ass 16-2. So that did not go well for me. I hit the Marlins. I hit the Phillies. Marlins 3-2 over the Jays. And then I hit the Phillies 6-0 over the Nationals. And I even hit the Orioles 9-5 over the Mets. You know you're having a good night when you bet on the Orioles and they make you money, right? I always tell you, don't bet on crappy teams. But I got to make a choice, right, on the show and on Coast to Coast and on the website, so I do it, and then I hit them. So I'm feeling pretty good about just killing it. Flyers cover, hit the big Flyer overtime win. I hit the Celtics outright. I mean, if I could just get this Jazz home, I mean, I may run down my street naked. I mean, I might just run down the street naked tonight. I've been known to do that, as you know. 70 apiece, 5 minutes left in this game 7. Carver Hyde made a really good point. Tell everybody what you said about this game 7.
it's just so much different than all the other games that we've watched in the bubble. Like, it's like old school, low scoring. It's like, you know, they're out in the yard just knocking each other over, no rules. Like, it's just, it feels, a lot of these games have been so high scoring and high speed and games in the 130s. You're getting such a different feel here with 5 minutes to go in the fourth and they're locked up at 70s. Like, that's crazy.
72-70 Denver now to get the bucket. Here's the deal. Jokic has 5 fouls. So if I'm the Jazz, I go right at him. Try to get him out of the game for like the last 2 or 3 minutes. Because he's the only guy scoring. He's the key to the game. He just had a dime on that go-ahead bucket. Ingles now. And off the glass to tie it. This game's incredible. And I told you today on Coast to Coast, I think Ingles has been complete, utter trash. I mean, he just has done absolutely nothing in this series. Jokic makes a bucket, a little floater in the lane. This is crazy. This is back and forth like nobody's business, right? So I got to give you an idea of like who's producing in this game now. I've told you, Jokic has been the man for Denver. He's got 26. Murray's still stuck at 13. But I told you, Jokic has 5 fouls. I don't know why they're not going after him. It's amazing to me. And then they just missed the three. They had a chance to go up, 5, but they missed the three. And then Mitchell's got 20. Gobert's got 17 and 17 boards. Ingles has 7, which is better than his usual nothing. You know what I mean? At least, I mean, he's 3 of 10 and 1 of 5 from downtown, so he's still just terrible, but he's got 7. Clarkson, the other guy, I talked about him today on Coast to Coast. They said, Clarkson's got to give you something. He's got 10. He hit a 3. So now this is where Murray usually takes over games. Jokic from downtown, he's short. So Utah needs to get a bucket here. It's down to 250 and counting. They're down a deuce. Mitchell makes the layup. It's unbelievable, this game. It really is unbelievable. I'm starting to get sweaty palms. Tiny bubbles. Tiny bubbles, yeah. There's your boy Murray, the kiss off the glass. This is like I'm saying, this is when he takes over. This is it. 2 minutes left in the game. They need buckets. They need to keep the lead. They need to put it in the hole. And Murray, who's done nothing the whole game, hits a glass shot on the wing to give him the 2-point lead again, right? So watch what happens in the last 2 minutes. Who shoots the rock? It'll be Jokic and Murray. No one else. And the Jazz know it, and they still can't stop them. It's unbelievable to me when you know what's coming, and you still can't stop them. It's a little different when the Astros knew what was coming, and they just hit all those home runs to win the World Series and then cheated for 3 years. They knew what was coming. But when you're playing basketball and you know what's coming, you still can't stop them, you deserve to lose. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know that the guy's going to shoot it every time, and you still can't stop him. It's like watching Michael Jordan. So here's the deal. They just turned it over, Utah, again. Sloppy turnovers. It's like Westbrook last night. A turnover at the end of the game. You need a deuce or a 3 to win, and he throws the ball away. So there you go. Now Murray scores again off the glass. I mean, now it's starting to look like it's over because they just keep scoring. And it's Murray, who's been dead the whole game, done nothing. Now all of a sudden he's lighting it up. And all of it off the glass. A J-wing glass and then a driving layup. Utah gets a layup to get back within 2. It's down to 1.5 minutes. I mean, there's really no time left in this game. Jokic just played with 5 fouls. It seems like forever. And they weren't smart enough to go at him to get him to foul out with Gobert. I would have given it to Gobert to get him to foul out 5 minutes ago. But they don't do it. And it's just Murray. It's the Murray show right now. They're trying to double him. He's still getting shots off. Oh, he threw it away. And now it's loose ball. What are they going to call a foul? No, shot clock violation. The ball was on the ground. They never got a shot off. Now it really is with 1:08 left, Carver. You got to get a bucket here. You just got to get a bucket. You cannot go down with under 1 minute and not score here. You got to tie it up or take the lead. Because in my opinion, that's the first time right there that I saw him stop Murray in the last 3 minutes where they actually got him off balance and he had to throw the ball away because he couldn't find anybody open. That was the best defense they played against him in the last 5 minutes.
And
he does whatever
them,
he wants.
I do like you just said. I go down low to Gobert here and try to get something, get a little contact on Joker. Try to do that down low. Maybe you go to the line, you get him fouled out. That's where I would go here.
Right, get him fouled out. Try to tie the game. Go to overtime and beat him without Jokic in the lineup. Now, that's got to be a foul. Like, your boy Mitchell's just getting hacked to death. They're having trouble getting a shot off. The wrong guy's going to shoot it here. They're not going to get a good shot off. Great defense. There it is. Gobert with the dunk. Woo! With the alley-oop from Conley. Woo! He may have broken his nose. He's looking. He's blind. Helen Keller. He got smacked in the nose going for the loop dunk. Tie game. 47 seconds left. I'm losing weight. I'm over here losing weight. Conley, with no time left, throws it up with 2 seconds left, and Gobert stuffs it. That's the play right there. That's why they got Plumlee in the lineup now. You know why they got him in there? Because Jokic is no longer available down in the block because he's got 5 fouls. Can't have him anywhere near, defending or trying to stop anybody, because if he fouls, he's done. If this game goes to overtime, right now it's tied. If it goes to overtime and he fouls out, they'll lose. Don't you think, Carver High?
I'm with you. They can't lose him right now, and you're so right. Plumlee is a hack. I mean, he's a legit hack. So,
right, but he's big.
If they're going to put Plumlee down there, and they're going to swap in and out on offensive, defensive side of the floor, you got to go at him because he's a hack, bottom line.
Well, he is, but let me tell you why, he's in there. Because he's got 1 foul. He's got 5 to give. He's got 5 to give, and he's a 7-footer. He's terrible, but he can hammer people and block shots and rebound. He's a monster. So that's why he's in there now, because the Joker's got 5 fouls. He's got 28 points, 5 fouls. He's got 14 rebounds. He's got a 28, 14, and 4. He's got 4 dimes to go with it. The Joker's had a huge game. And he's 11 of 22 from the floor, 2 threes, and perfect 4 for 4 from the line. This is just a fantastic game 7, end of it, like they all are. Game 7s are usually awesome. I thought that was a brilliant play right over Plumlee's head for the dunk. You could have called a foul on Plumlee there too, but they didn't. I think they're basically, am I wrong? They're letting them play. They're letting them play for the most part because they're letting guys drive in there and they're getting whacked and hacked and they're still not calling it. They're letting them play, which I think is really cool because the refs ruin everything. And now all of a sudden they're letting them play. And they're defending Murray like nobody's business. Joker now driving, trying to work it on Gobert. Gobert's going to try to block him. Oh, what a shot. The sky hook. It fell. What a shot by Jokic. Oh, my God. I'm losing weight. That was just brilliant. He just spun Gobert around like he was at a Disney ride. Another timeout, 22 left. So, I mean, they're like, they got 18 on the shot clock. Bottom line is, if they don't score here or hit a 3, I think they're toast. I don't, they're not going to get another chance. They're going to have to foul, and then it's going to come down to free throws, and they're not going to get a good shot. They're just not going to get another good shot off, another good look. Because there's going to be no time. Right now, they have 18 left on the shot clock. They have to go down and get a shot now. You know what I mean? Because if they wait and miss, the game's over. Because they're going to have to go to the line. So their best alternative is, I'm a coach. I think that it's clear, Carver, get the shot off right now within the first 5-6 seconds. So there's still 14 left on the clock. So you can foul them and still hope that they miss one and you can hit a 3 to tie the game because they're down 2 already.
Yeah, so I don't think you want to play slow here. I'm with you. I think that you want to try to score. You got some time here, but it
is really.
You only need a deuce. You only need a deuce to tie. But you also, you want to be able to play, give yourself a chance. If you do miss, like you say, to foul and have another opportunity.
Do you have right now any stones to give Mitchell a chance or Conley to shoot a 3 and try to take the lead and force Denver to make the last shot?
If Plumlee's out there, I go at him with Gobert again. If not, I'm giving it to Mitchell.
All right, so we've seen all these turnovers and mistakes by teams like last night with Westbrook. Let's see if they screw this up. They're going to have to call a timeout here. No, they got it in. Now give Mitchell the ball. They can't even get him the ball. They did. They're going to like, oh, they got a timeout. So they can't even get Mitchell the ball. That's how good Denver's playing defense on Mitchell. They won't even let him have the ball. So I think they have to have a different plan to get Conley the ball. Conley needs to be the guy with the ball again. Same kind of play, alley-oop to Gobert, or Conley goes to the 10 himself, gets fouled, makes the layup, or somehow they're not going to let Mitchell get the ball. Denver's not letting him get the ball any more than Utah's not going to let Murray have a good look. They're all over him. And hopefully on both ends, I hope that there's no ref call. I want it to be just play. Take the shot, make it, miss it. I want to see no refs involved here. Let's see what they do. But obviously, I'm going to run out of time here, aren't I? Which is highly unfortunate. You got to figure my luck has got to be that I'd run out of time here when this play is going to happen. So I guess we'll have to talk about it when I come back. Because they're in a timeout now. They're going to come back. They're going to throw it in, and I'm going to miss the end of it. I'm going to watch
never
it,
know.
You're not going to hear what happens.
Another one of these timeouts is probably going to be about 3 minutes, which is what our break's going to be. So you never know. You might be back for the end of it.
Yeah, but the break at the top of the hour is about 25 minutes. So I should be back for my 56th birthday. Just unbelievable. The winner of this game takes on the Clippers in the semis. So Denver won the game 80-78. Here's what happened. Mitchell got the inbound, went down, turned it over. Murray goes down with Grant on a 2-on-1. Grant misses the layup inexplicably. He misses a layup with no one on him. Off the rim, he chucked it. And Gobert got the rebound, started running. Threw it up to Conley on the left wing. No one on him. He avoided the swatted shot. A guy came up to try to swat him, and he avoided him. And it was a running three on the left wing, a real clean look, a beautiful look. And he shot it, and it rimmed in and out. It was in, and it circled around like the Ferris wheel and roly-polied out. And Mitchell fell to the floor and was devastated. Murray came over and consoled him. And told him, you were great. You were unbelievable. You played fantastic. I love you. I thought it was a class move by Murray. Murray didn't do much in the game, but at the end of the game, he had two big shots, a layup and a kiss off the glass. I think he finished with around 17. I could be wrong. He had 17, Murray. He didn't shoot the ball well. 7 of 21 tonight, 1 of 6 from downtown. The star of the game, obviously, was Jokic, who had 30. And 14 boards, 4 dimes, and played with 5 fouls. So Denver will play the Clippers in the semis. And, bottom line is, right from the jump, the Clippers will beat them. The Jazz had them 3-1. They should have beat them. And they were down 16 at the half in this game. They came all the way back, and they had as good a look as you can buy. You couldn't even buy a look that good. After they missed the layup, which was just absolutely laughable that he missed the layup, they come down with 4.5 seconds left. They get down the floor in about, 3 seconds. With 1 second left, he shot it. A perfect left wing three. I love that running left wing three when I play. It's my favorite shot. My favorite three is from the corners and from that left wing runner on a breakaway where I'll just pull up on that wing and pop, and I hit it all the time. I thought he had it. It was a great he missed.